Good afternoon, everyone. I'm San Francisco Mayor London Breed, and I want to thank you all for being here today with a number of our city department heads who are responsible for responding to emergencies, specifically as it relates to the severe weather that we just experienced over the holiday weekend. I want to start by really thanking our first responders. In fact, we were under the impression and notified by our National Weather Service that we could anticipate not even an inch of rain. And in fact, what we saw within a 24-hour period was a 5.5 inches of rain, which is one of the second largest amounts of rains that we have seen within a 24-hour period. And in fact, it had not happened in San Francisco in this capacity since 1849. So you can imagine that it had impacted our city in such a significant way, and including businesses, homes, our streets, and a number of other things. And although the information we had was not sufficient to help us prepare in the capacity that we needed to address the issue, our first responders, many from the Public Utilities Commission who cleared out storm drains along with the Department of Public Works, our fire department, our police department, so many of the folks in the Department of Emergency Management stepped up and did what we needed to do to address this unprecedented event. Now, in addition to the response, the over 8,500 sandbags were distributed to folks throughout San Francisco, and we anticipate coming up another storm. A storm tomorrow, which was estimated to be 2 to 3 inches, but we are definitely preparing for more. We also expect 24 to 29 miles per hour winds with a gust of up to 50 miles per hour. So we anticipate something just as significant tomorrow as what we experienced, and we will be prepared. With sandbags, we will be prepared with support. And we want to just say to the public, please use 911 wisely. We have a lot of emergencies that we will need to respond to, so we want to make sure that 911 is used as a life or death tool only. We do have 311, so if there is major flooding in specific areas or other needs, please use 311 as a tool to be directed to the appropriate resource so that we can respond. We have a number of our city agencies that are here today to talk more specifically about what we need to do to be prepared. This, again, is something that San Francisco has only seen once, and even in 1994, to a certain extent, we saw it during that time as well. We saw it all over the Bay Area, not just in San Francisco. And our hope is that while we are still recovering, cleaning out storm drains, and working really hard to get our city back on track, the time is not going to be sufficient between now and the next storm to completely recover. And so we are asking the public to just limit a number of things, limit unnecessary travel, make sure that if you need sandbags, we have Carla Short from DPW who will be providing information as to where you can go to get additional sandbags. Stay focused on using 911 for emergencies only and use 311 as an alternative. We are prepared to deal with this, and we are hopeful that the public will help us. And for those of San Franciscans who have been adopting drains over the years, I know a lot of community members have taken responsibility to help clear drains to ensure that the water flow is able to make it into the storm drains. But we know that the amount of water that had come down during New Year's Eve and will possibly happen tomorrow may overwhelm our system. This is why we're going to be out working 24/7 to get our storm drains cleared, to get our city prepared. And we're asking members of the public to be patient, to be understanding as we get through this, because we will get through this. And at this time, I want to introduce the director of the Department of Emergency Management, who will be responsible for overseeing our emergency operation as we get through this very challenging time, Mary Ellen Carroll.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Madam Mayor. As always, I appreciate your leadership and your support for San Francisco's emergency preparedness efforts. I want to echo my appreciation for all of my colleagues and the countless public servants, including our 911 dispatchers and emergency managers at the Department of Emergency Management who responded on New Year's Eve. Official forecasts, as the mayor noted, were less than an inch, and we obviously got much, much more than was expected. Our city employees rallied, and we activated our EOC late morning when we realized that the what was happening actually was a little different than the actual forecast. So what is going to happen now is that we have a flood watch in San Francisco starting tomorrow at 4 a.m. through Thursday at 4 p.m. And we also have Wind Watch. Right before this press conference, I got a briefing from the National Weather Service, and the predictions are upping a little bit, so we're looking to perhaps have another inch of rain, more than what was predicted earlier, and winds are going to be stronger with up to 60 to 70 degree mile-per-hour gusts expected during the afternoon tomorrow. So we do expect localized flooding and mudslides down trees and power lines to occur in San Francisco. Our job at our Emergency Operations Center is to ensure that our storm operations are coordinated and that we can respond effectively during this storm incident. So our emergency operation will be activated for a 12-hour shift starting tomorrow and will continue for as long as is necessary. We will provide storm preparedness response, recovery, and we'll be coordinating city resources. We'll also be providing public alerts, warning, and any information that we believe necessary. In addition to the EOC activation, our 911 dispatchers are always on duty and ready to respond and answer calls. But this becomes a lot harder when everyone calls in to 911 for non-life-threatening issues. And this did happen for a period of time on New Year's Eve, so we're really asking the public to only use 911 for those life safety emergencies. We have 311, and we would like the public to use 311. You can report storm effects and events on the app. You can do it online at 311sf311.org, or you can call in directly at 311. And we do understand that flooding in a home can be a really scary situation, but unless someone is in danger and there's a life safety issue, we would like that kind of flooding to please be reported to 311. On New Year's Eve, our 311 customer reps responded and dispatched more than 800 calls for storm-related issues, and they're ready to do it again for this next incoming storm. So we also, I want to echo the mayor, we urge people to avoid traveling on the roads during the heaviest rains, which really will be all day, most of the day tomorrow and into the evening on tomorrow night. If you have to be out, please avoid flooded areas, and of course, please avoid any power lines that may be down. 6 inches of rain can take down a pedestrian, and just a foot of moving water can disable or sweep a vehicle away. And finally, we urge everyone to be prepared. High winds are going to knock down trees, and that may cause power to go out. Please make sure that you have extra supplies that you may need, like a flashlight and extra batteries. Storm preparedness and safety information with details about sandbag distribution and all of our emergency alerts can be found on sf72.org, and you can sign up for alerts simply by texting your zip code to 888-777. As we've been preparing, and all of my city colleagues have been over the last 48 hours, it reminds me that these are the same people and some of the same issues that we would have if we had an earthquake. So we wish this wasn't happening, please remember that all of this preparedness is important not only for a storm, but it could be for an earthquake also. So please take the steps you need to prepare and look out for one another. At this time, I'd like to introduce my partner in public safety, who is your fire chief, Janine Nicholson. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Carroll, and thank you, Mayor Breed, for your leadership. My name is Janine Nicholson, and I am your San Francisco Fire Chief. And here before you today, you have quite a few leaders of city departments. And you have before you what we call a city family. And as the city family, our departments are here to help the citizens of this city weather whatever storm it is. However, I can't stress it enough, call 911 for life-threatening emergencies only. We still have to run all of our critical 911 calls, whether it's a cardiac arrest, or a car accident, or a fire. And if you add all of these flooding issues that we had earlier this week, it can really overtax the system. So again, if you have a little bit of flooding in your home, call 311. If someone is having a heart attack, if someone is being swept away by water, call 911. The San Francisco Fire Department received almost 800 calls for service in a 24-hour period during this last storm. That's about twice of what we normally receive. And fortunately, the San Francisco Fire Department is prepared for a disaster. It's what we do, but we could really use the public's help. Please stay home. Please do have your flashlights, and if you have generators, have fuel in them to be able to take care of yourselves and your family and not have to go out in this and then have to call 911 for someone to rescue you. So please stay safe, stay home, 911 for life-threatening emergencies only, 311 for other issues. And with that, I would like to introduce another city department head, another partner in the city family, Director of Public Works, Carla Short.
Thank you, Chief Nicholson, and thank you, Mayor Breed, for your leadership during this challenging storm event. As the mayor noted, we have already given out approximately 8,500 sandbags. We have additional sandbags literally on the truck on their way to our operations yard as we speak. As what we are asking the public is, if you have not experienced flooding in previous storm events, you're not likely to experience flooding. So please leave those sandbags for people who have had flooding issues in their home. We are doing everything we can to source sandbags from all over the region, and we will continue to provide updates through sf72.org and our Twitter feed at San Francisco Public Works, as well as our website. We will be updating regularly our hours of distribution for sandbags on those platforms and if there are any additional locations. Currently, the operations yard at 2323 Cesar Chavez will be open until 8 p.m. this evening for the distribution of sandbags, and you can enter that off of the Kansas Marin entrance. So again, please, if you do not need sandbags, if you have not experienced flooding, we're asking that you leave them for people who have had flooding in the past. They are more likely to have additional flooding. But we're going to do everything we can to ensure that we have sufficient sandbags available. Thank you. Oh, and with that, I would like to introduce the General Manager of the Public Utilities Commission, Dennis Herrera.
Thank you, Carla. Thank you, Mayor Breed. And thank you, all of you, for being here to help inform the public so we're all prepared for what everybody, I think, agrees are unique weather events, but unfortunately are going to become all the more common with climate change. So the fact that we are focusing on protecting our residents and focusing on flood resiliency is incredibly important. At the PUC, we have a three-pronged approach. The first is operation and maintenance. Many of you know that year-round, our crews clean, repair, and replace aging sewer infrastructure through capital projects and ongoing maintenance and preventive operations and maintenance. With large storms like we are experiencing now, we increase staffing and prioritize low-lying neighborhoods to proactively clear storm drains and then respond to 311 calls related to sewers during and after the storm. We deploy rake crews to clear storm drains and specialized equipment like VACON trucks to remove debris that stormwater helps prevent stormwater moving into our storm system. And with specific respect to this storm, we already have three strike crews out on the street getting ready to be deployed with the potential for a fourth, depending on where we're at in the storm. And we have 10 trucks already ready to go, five VACON trucks and five other trucks that are designed to clean and pump out catch basins and sewer lines. So they are already ready to go to respond on a moment's notice and will be proactively out there. The second prong that we have is infrastructure projects. We have three separate projects in low-lying neighborhoods of the city. Many of you are familiar with them. Wawona, 17th and Folsom, 15th and Wawona, 17th and Folsom, and the Lower Alemany. And those are designed to increase the volume of stormwater that sewers can handle. And collectively, these three projects reflect a $600 million investment from the PUC in trying to get some more flood resiliency. The 15th and Wawona project is already under construction. And I would say that the 17th and Folsom, some of you are familiar with right outside the Right Spot Bar and the others, that becomes, that's a sort of a low-lying area. We have already made the decision to deploy flood barriers in that area, even though on our last storm that wasn't as intense as we had seen previously, but in an abundance of caution, we're already deploying at 17th and Folsom and standing up our flood response unit throughout the PUC to make sure that we are coordinating our efforts. Many of you are familiar with our green infrastructure program, which has already handed out $10.5 million of grants to schools and nonprofits to fund rain gardens, green roofs, and other green infrastructure to help slow down and redirect our floodwaters. And we're hopeful that more long-term, those grants will be accelerating so that we can make an even bigger impact. The third approach is on citywide policy. We work with all of our client departments to foster development projects that prioritize green infrastructure. And in the 12th year of our 12th year anniversary of our city stormwater management ordinance, we already have 400 projects throughout the city that are incorporating green infrastructure and stormwater resiliency in development and redevelopment of new projects. And hopefully that is something that will continue to benefit San Francisco more generally. Now, while all this work is great, we all know that we can't do this on our own. We can't do it. These storms are more intense. We depend on our community partnerships. We have 25,000 storm drains in this city. We're lucky that we have 2,500 volunteers in the city who become our partners to help clear those storm drains. We have 2,500 volunteers who have already volunteered to take on about 3,800 of those different drains, spending their time raking and help clear those drains. And I'm very happy that we have David Lang here, who is our community partner, who has adopted 8 drains on his very own to take responsibility for. So we need to go out and spread the word about the good work that our community partners can do to help us collectively manage a problem that is going to become all the more intense with the increasing challenges that we face from climate change. So David, thank you very much. And for those of you that are sort of wondering what else you can do, you've heard preventive things that you can do as a resident, and encourage you to go out and get flood insurance. It's available for renters, for your belongings, and building owners yourselves. And also at the PUC to take advantage of our floodwater management grant program, where we will reimburse you up to $100,000 for projects that are flood resilient that qualify. If you're installing backwater valves, flood barriers on doorsteps or your driveways, water-resistant seals, sump pumps, please take advantage of our floodwater management grant program. We want to be your partner, and we will sort of reward you for taking a step to help us along. So you can find information on our website in multiple languages about our flood insurance and the floodwater grant program and more by visiting sfpuc.org / rainreadysf.com. So that's what we have, both in the immediate short term and more long term, about how we can partner together and make sure that we're all doing our part to be as flood resilient as possible. And I want to thank my city partners here and Mayor Breed for her leadership to making sure that we're as coordinated as possible to protect the residents of the city and county of San Francisco. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Director Herrera. And we also have joining us our city administrator, Carmen Chu. We have the Director of Homelessness, Shereen McSpadden, our Sheriff, Paul Miyamoto, and Deputy Chief from the Police Department, David Lazar. So with that, we'll open it up for questions.
Right over there.
Thank you. Can I ask you about the local transit agencies and whether you expect buses and rail to be running on schedule?
Well, we do expect some delays with our public transportation system in light of the heavy rains, but it appears as though the last storm, it wasn't as impacted as what we would have anticipated in light of such significant rains. Our hope is to continue to make sure that our trains and our buses are running on time as much as possible, but there will be delays.
Next question.
Dennis, I have a question for you. You mentioned
Would you point to?
You mentioned right over here, the question for Dennis Herrera.
Yeah, my question for Dennis Herrera. You mentioned that this is going to be more and more common with climate change. What if this is the new normal? And what if, in fact, what we have on your map is a 100-year flood starts to happen every year? You mentioned some programs. Is the city's long-term infrastructure planning up for that? And what do we need to do if this is something that we start to see every single winter and the 100-year flood map becomes the every year?
Well, I think you're already seeing the investment in that kind of thing, Tim. I mean, I just talked a little bit about $600 million that the PUC is investing in green infrastructure projects. It's in recognition of the fact that we do have a changing normal. You heard me talk about the 400 development and redevelopment projects that the city has, which represents a citywide approach to development and redevelopment to demand that our development projects incorporate green infrastructure and resiliency so we can have some diversion and reroute water and make sure that it lessens the impact. So I think that those projects reflect the collective political will of everybody up here as well as the Board of Supervisors that we have to get ready for a new normal. So I think that is indicative of the fact that under Mayor Breed's leadership and other members of the board that everybody takes this very seriously and that we have to continue to look at how we can attack it in a very, very comprehensive way.
Dennis, you have 25,000 drains, but do you have, are they cleaned regularly? Because I talked to people out there in 15th and Folsom who said the water was gushing out of the storm drains, and they don't know what they're going to do with this next storm coming in.
Yeah, I mean, we do. We prioritize, as I said earlier, we have 25,000 drains. We do partner with people like David Lang, and there's a shared response. We have crews that go out there and rake and get to those when we're aware of them, and we up that during a time when we know we're going to have a flood. We have three strike teams out there now doing that. So, yes, they are regularly cleaned, maintained. We use our vac trucks, and we have ongoing maintenance. But, you know, whenever we have a storm, things get washed in, right? So we also heighten up our intensity when we know we have something coming.
Follow-up, I talked to one business owner who said she's out of luck. She canceled her flood insurance because of the pandemic. Now she's got all this damage at 15th and Folsom. What is she going to do? Can she do?
I think I said we have flood insurance. We also have flood mitigation improvement program. There are people at 17th and Folsom. I can tell you there's a cafe right there on the corner across the street from the right spot who took advantage of that program. I got to tell you, we've been publicizing our program and encouraging business owners and individuals with a history of flooding to get out and take advantage of it so we can be your partner. And it hasn't gotten the uptake that we would have hoped. So we want to get the word out there. So hopefully your inquiry and your message will help people get out there, because we're there to be a partner with you, and we're hopeful that folks will take advantage of that program.
Next question, so I'll go to Tricia.
Yeah, Mr. Greer, for those three major infrastructure projects that you mentioned around Folsom, you know, those are obviously years out from completion, and in the meantime, until those are done, I mean, what can residents and business owners in those areas do and rely on aside from, you know, flood barriers?
Well, I will tell you, if you look at it in this last storm, we didn't really have, Wawona didn't really have any problems. Lower Alamany, we really didn't have much problems, and I think that is because of the preventive maintenance that we're doing. 17th and Folsom, we know we historically have an issue, so we really didn't have a huge problem the other day, but we are deploying the flood barriers now. So when we hear about things, it's a combination of ongoing maintenance, but also when we become aware, we try and be as proactive and preventative as we can. And I think in the main, we've been very, very successful. And we were pretty successful the other day, even though that was a storm that exceeded everybody's prediction. And we're going to be ready tomorrow as well.
And are you expecting any other neighborhoods to be particularly problematic tomorrow?
I can't say. I mean, I can tell you that Marina Boulevard was impacted the other day. That was because of, I think, where how the rain came in. I don't know if it's going to depend on the intensity and the location of where water comes, particularly, but we're going to be as ready as best we can to respond to residents' issues.
Next question. Go ahead.
What's the plan right now to get off of the streets and out of
the I'll let Shireen McSpadden answer that question, but I want to go back to the fact that, and reiterate, we haven't seen rain of this magnitude within a 24-hour period in San Francisco, only two other times in 1849 and 1994. And in addition to doing all the work and cleaning out the drains, this water is coming down fast. So with all the work that's happening out there to prepare, please keep in mind that a lot of this may be out of our control because of the intensity and the amount of rain that we're getting, which is not just happening here in San Francisco. I mean, you are reporting the news. You're reporting some of the challenges that have existed that were happening here in the Bay Area as a whole, but even in Sacramento, where people experienced a number of challenges and were saved from floating in the river. So I think we have a lot of intensity in here as it relates to the water that we can expect, and we're doing everything we can to be as prepared as we can. And in light of what we receive from the National Weather Service about what to expect, the fact that it was so significantly different, so out of range, and we were still able to respond with a significant number of emergency personnel in this city, is something that I must say I'm very proud of and grateful to the people who work for the city who showed up during a holiday weekend to go above and beyond and to address a situation that was not brought to our attention in a timely manner. However, even though we anticipate anywhere between 2 and 3 inches, we are going to be prepared for even more in light of what just happened this past weekend. And with that, I'll let Shireen talk a little bit about what our plans are around our shelter system, including the ability to allow people to walk up on a first-come, first-served basis.
Thank you, Mayor Breed, for your leadership on this. So what we have done is we've been able to repurpose some beds between our winter interfaith shelter system and some other beds that we had dedicated to certain populations. We've repurposed those within our system. Right now, as of this morning, we've got 170 vacant beds within our system, and we're flexing the system so that people can walk up and access shelter in four different places. That is Sanctuary, Next Door, MSC South, and then St. Mary's, which is the Interfaith Winter Shelter. We also have staff who will be stationed at the EOC tomorrow, along with Mary Ellen and Director Carol and her team. And we will be monitoring the situation on a daily basis. We know that the rain is going to be with us for a while. While it's going to be worse in the next couple of days, it's going to be around for a while, and we're going to keep that system flexible through the 15th of January. But we will be monitoring on a daily basis to see what else we need, whether we need to do a pop-up or anything like that. In addition, our homeless outreach team will be out on the street talking with people experiencing homelessness, letting them know about shelter beds available and how to access them. And they will be passing out things to people who would who need ponchos, beanies, blankets, et cetera. And we will also be putting information out on social media and on our website so that people know how to access shelter beds. Thank you.
Next question, Pete.
Yeah, I'm not sure who would answer this, but as regarding the National Weather Service and the numbers, would there be any consideration as far as alternatives to them considering those numbers? It appears that's kind of the messaging. It was pretty far off heading into Saturday. So would there be any alternatives?
I mean, we're following all NOAA, National Weather Service, local. The PUC tracks this by the minute because of their response. You know, I just want to reiterate what General Manager Herrera said. We have climate change. The planet is changing. We experience this in the summer. We come in front of you when we have heat waves and we experience air quality issues. These are things that I've been doing this work for 18 years. The last 6 years, five, 6 years have been completely different than what I've done over my, you know, more than almost two decades worth of work in emergency management. This is the reality. And it's not just in San Francisco, it's across the board, across this country. And depending on where you are, it's different kinds of storms, could be snow, could be hurricanes and other things. So yes, we are going to do every, you know, we have not stopped since it started raining, basically, on New Year's Eve. Our team has been working on this. We are going to be as coordinated as we can. We're going to get all the information out to folks. But as the mayor also said, there's a certain amount of this that's out of our hands. I think I maybe said to you, we don't have a device yet that stops the water from hitting the ground before it gets here. So, you know, it's really around public information and everyone taking responsibility for, you know, keeping themselves safe, keeping our first responders available for those that truly need it. And, you know, as I've said, and as Fire Chief said, people still have heart attacks and strokes and babies during all kinds of events. And so we have to have that first response capability available. So yes, we'll always plan for a little bit more and we'll flex as much as we can. But we are looking at all different kinds of forecasts. And I can tell you, you know, we've worked with NOAA and we've worked with the National Weather guys and women that do that work. You know, they are challenged as much as anyone else. It's a whole new world. And so we're going to follow everything they say. We're going to over-prepare. And like, for instance, on New Year's Eve, you know, we were all home hoping we were going to have a quiet day, and that didn't turn out to be the case. But that's our job. We show up, and as did people in the field, and we'll continue to do that.
Tricia, go ahead.
Mary, you mentioned that NWS is expecting the storm tomorrow to actually be worse than initial predictions. Are they considering it to be at the level of a 100-year storm? Are they talking about it, that severity?
They didn't describe that, and I don't have all of those metrics in my head. But, you know, we know that it's more than probably what our storm system is going to be able to handle, which means during the heaviest periods of rain, there will be flooding. You know, I think the other concern, what I'm very concerned about, is the high winds. So we have a saturated ground, and we have trees that there become much more vulnerable to the wind in that case. So we will see, I'm sure, we'll see trees down and branches down, which then leads to power outages. So it's all these compounding impacts of the storm that we're getting ready for.
And what happened over the weekend? Was that a 100-year storm? Did NWS consider it that?
I don't know what it was ultimately categorized as. And also, you know, they don't know immediately. They take some time, even the PUC, to calculate the actual rainfall, then to determine what category it was. So I'm sorry, I don't know that information.
Leanne?
Yeah, so I had a question. I know that the school district is a different body, but have you been in contact with them at all to say, maybe suggest that maybe kids shouldn't go to the school, or maybe, you know, what's your take on that?
We have been in touch with the school district, and Administrator Chu and I have been in touch with the superintendent. SFUSD plans on keeping kids in class. Really, as I think we all know from COVID, keeping kids in school is a priority for everyone. Of course, SFUSD will be monitoring the situation, and they'll make their own decisions. But as of now, they're keeping kids in school, and we support that decision.
Any other questions?
Right over here. Yeah, I don't see PG&E here. Are you confident, is the city confident that PG&E is prepared to deal with all of these problems as they happen? Have we been in touch with them?
Oh yeah, we've been in touch. Yes, we are in touch. They were just on our incident management team call. They are doing their best. As you know, we have some outages today. We had outages over the weekend. I fully expect that we will have outages over the next few days. And we will be in close contact with PG&E. For us, you know, we try to make sure we're monitoring our most critical infrastructure, such as the 911 center, hospitals, and other operation centers. And PG&E is well aware of what those are. So, yes, we are close partners with PG&E.
All right, everybody, that concludes our press conference today.
Question.
We'll do one more. Okay. One over here.
I was down around 15th Pulse one Saturday. You probably saw the video of me, folks out on the little circuit board and kind of, you know, spoke to two of them. They were still cleaning out their garage where the cars were and stuff. They didn't have a lot of faith and confidence that this could be avoided again. What do you tell this family?
Well, as I said, this is something that is unprecedented for our city, for the Bay Area, and we're going to do everything we can to prepare, but we can't control the weather. We can only make sure that we're doing everything we can prepare to ensure that our storm drains are clear, to ensure that our emergency responses are prepared, and that we are able to respond to people to provide help or to provide support, more so probably going to be after the fact in a case like what we're talking about as it relates to Folsom. We know that a lot of people are experiencing this, not just there, but also in the Bayview Hunters Point community and other neighborhoods where their homes have been red tagged. So I think at the end of the day, you know, making sure that we're making the investments in infrastructure, making sure that we're making adjustments like our Public Utilities Commission director had talked about, all these investments. I mean, if our city was not on a path to think about the possibility of heat waves and extreme weather as it relates to rain, and other things, capturing that rainwater in a more responsible way and providing the level of support and changes to our infrastructure that we have over the past couple of years, things could have been a lot worse. So what we can say is we're going to do everything we can to prepare. We'll reassess the situation and make additional improvements to our infrastructures throughout the city to hopefully make sure that this doesn't continue to impact our residents and our businesses in such a significant way. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.